Children can be dismissed for children's church at this time. I don't know if you know the story behind the hymn that we just sang, but it's a very powerful story. A Christian man by the name of Horatio Spafford is the author of that. His family was on a ship sailing over to England, and the ship was struck, and his wife and children were on that ship. The wife survived. The children did not survive the sinking of that ship. This was back in the century or so ago. As Horatio Spafford was sailing across the ocean to England to meet with his wife, having lost, I believe it was two daughters, it was literally as he was sailing across the spot where the ship went down, where his daughters perished, that he penned the words to that hymn. That somehow, in the face of utter tragedy, a parent's worst nightmare come true, that he found strength in Christ. He found the person of God, the strength of God, to not be something in that moment that he denied God, or he says, well, God must not be good if tragedy happens. But in the middle of that, he found his faith bolstered. And I think that gives us all great hope. So this wasn't part of the sermon plan or anything, but I just, as we were singing that, and just I was thinking of the story behind it, I just, before we even launch into God's Word today, I want to remind you that no matter what you're facing in this life right now, whatever struggles, whatever trials, that God is faithful. And that He can bring comfort, He can bring strength, He can bring stability to your soul. And even though everything else around you might be crumbling, might be confusing, might be hard, it can be well with your soul because God is God. Turn to Him and put your faith in Him. And we're going to talk a little bit about what that looks like as we go through this morning. So we're starting a new series this morning. It is my job as pastor, above everything else, to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. That's my job description from the book of Ephesians. And it occurs to me that one of the main things that I can do as a pastor, as I strive to do this in my own life, is simply, how do I live the Christian life? And how can I best equip you and help you to live out your faith day by day, to live the Christian life? And a huge key aspect of living out our faith day by day is understanding the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on over the next several weeks in this series I'm entitling The Wonderful Spirit-Filled Life. I want us to learn truly what it means to this source, this resource that God the Father has given us, called the Holy Spirit, that is key to living the Christian life. And if we don't understand the Holy Spirit and we don't understand who He is and how He works in our lives, we absolutely will struggle to live faithfully for God. But if we do, we will begin to find new source of strength and wisdom and power to live for God. And that's really what it's all about, living effectively and all out for God. So That's where we're headed. I a few weeks ago kind of presented a scenario in my mind that I kind of laid out for you, and I want to kind of go back to that. I talked about this struggle that I have, that sometimes I have this longing that I wish that I could actually walk and talk with the physical Jesus. You remember, he actually came to this earth, right? He was here physically for 33 some odd years, and just the last few of that, he had his public ministry, and he had these disciples, these 12, and he had some key other women and other men that were part of kind of this crowd that followed him, and they actually walked and talked with Jesus. And when I read the stories, the account of that, especially in the Gospels, I find myself sometimes longing for that opportunity. How great it would be to be able, when I'm facing a critical decision and I don't know what to do, how great it would be to call Jesus on the phone and set up an appointment and go say, Jesus, I need to know exactly what I need to do here. I mean, if you would just tell me, I would do it, whatever it is. I'm just not sure. And some days when I'm facing life and life is hard and I feel kind of full of some fears and some tentativeness and I'm just feeling overwhelmed, wouldn't it be great if I could just pull up a chair next to Jesus and have him give me a pep talk? Mike, I'm with you. It's going to be okay. We can get through this together. Well, Jesus made a very interesting statement that I want to kind of use to launch this series, because Jesus said that I'm wrong in my thinking. Jesus told the 12, the disciples, one day, this is in John 16, he says, I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. This is better for you. Why? Unless I go away, the Counselor, referring to the Holy Spirit, one of his titles, unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And Jesus indicates this is better for you, for all of you, for all of us. Let me ask you a question. Think about this. When did the disciples do their most effective work, ministry for the kingdom of God? Did they do it while they were walking and talking and following the physical Jesus on this earth, or did they do it after he left? They did it after he left. After he left and the Holy Spirit came, as Jesus promised, all of a sudden, Peter, who is denying Christ at one point, is now boldly proclaiming Christ. The disciples who, at the moment of Jesus' arrest and his crucifixion, the scripture tells us they scattered in fear for their own lives. After the resurrection and after the Spirit came, they rallied back together and they launched the kingdom of God. They launched the church. They launched and went out and proclaimed the gospel. And history tells us that all but one of them gave their very lives for the gospel. They died martyrs' deaths. They were killed for their faith because they lived it so boldly and proclaimed it so full of the Spirit. So that's good news for us. The Holy Spirit, if you do a kind of a quick overview of Scripture, it's kind of an interesting study. The Holy Spirit has is present in the Old Testament. As you kind of start the Bible, you see some, what I'm going to call, special guest appearances that the Holy Spirit makes here and there throughout the Old Testament. He's present at creation. The Spirit hovered over the waters in Genesis and was part of that creation process. And then as different characters are introduced and we learn about them in the Old Testament, Moses and Noah and Moses and David and the prophets, you get phrases like this: the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God came upon them, and it was just like for a short season or for a special occasion, the Holy Spirit would come upon a person and help them with a special, you know, situation, give them special strength or wisdom in just a moment, but then the Holy Spirit would leave. It was not a permanent giving of the Holy Spirit. And that's kind of how it flowed in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit came and went in people's lives. But then Jesus came, and we transitioned to the New Testament, and Jesus lives out his life in the power of the Holy Spirit. But then the statement that I just read from John, he begins to predict, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send another, the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit, as Jesus inaugurates the coming of God's kingdom on this earth, the Holy Spirit is given to come and stay permanently. The Holy Spirit is specially given to us at this time for the church. And as I understand the New Testament, as it unfolds, the Holy Spirit is the key and the secret for every Christian and every church to live a successful, vibrant, growing, vital Christian life. So we need to understand this entity called the Holy Spirit. I can't think of a more important biblical topic that is surrounded, though, by more questions and confusion than the topic of the Holy Spirit. Different churches are all over the place on what they believe and what they think about the Holy Spirit. And you got some churches that are, you know, man, they're kind of wild and they speak in tongues and what's all that all about? And other churches never talk about the Holy Spirit and everything in between. We want to answer some questions in this series about who is the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. Who is the Holy Spirit? And we're going to talk about what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Those are phrases that the Scripture uses that we need to understand. What does it mean to be yielded to the Holy Spirit? What is the purpose? What is the Holy Spirit? What is He for? What is He trying to do in our lives? I'm going to wrestle with some of these questions. A recent popular book by author Francis Chan. He's kind of a popular writer here in the last 5 or 6 years. And he wrote a book, interesting title. Listen to this title: Forgotten God. And the subtitle is Reversing the Tragic Neglect of the Holy Spirit. Forgotten God. In other words, the Holy Spirit, if we're talking about God, if we're talking about the Trinity, the Holy Spirit's the one that we always forget about. He's kind of the third one and we never quite get around to talking about. Kind of forget about the Holy Spirit. And in that book, he writes this, and this is the reason why we need to be talking about this Holy Spirit. He says this: from my perspective, the Holy Spirit is tragically neglected and for all practical purposes forgotten. While no evangelical, that's us, we're evangelicals, we believe the Bible is the Word of God, we believe Jesus is the Son of God, we believe Jesus is the provider of salvation, and that's what it means to be evangelical, basically. He says, no evangelical would deny the Holy Spirit's existence. I'm willing to bet there are millions of churchgoers across America who cannot confidently say that they have experienced the Holy Spirit's presence or actions in their lives over this past year. And many of them, he says, do not believe that it is even possible for them to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is tragic in the lives of believers. And so we're gonna tackle this thing. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. As I've said, according to the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is the key for us living a wise and powerful life for God. So if you want to get your inserts out and just kind of follow along, I can tell you this morning, we're kind of a small informal group, right? So I can mess up. I'm probably not going to preach a whole sermon today. I'm probably going to get about halfway through these notes and pick it up next week. We cool with that? I know some of you are OCD, and if you don't have every blank filled in, that creates great anxiety for you. And I promise that what we'll do is next week we'll pick it back up and keep filling them in. And if you just can't live that way, then catch me afterwards and I'll tell you what the blanks are. Okay. Also, I should mention before I forget about it, there's an extra sheet in your bulletin that is a discussion guide that you'll notice that will be based now, since I'm splitting this sermon in two, this will be for this week and next week. And the purpose of that discussion guide is something new, so I probably ought to explain it. And that simply is, some of you meet in Bible study groups, some of you do your own devotions, and those are just some questions that I am providing based upon the sermon for further thought and or further discussion for you to kind of mull over to try to bring some application in your life. So put that away for later. I don't want you reading while I'm talking. How rude. All right. I want to address the question, who is the Holy Spirit? And to do that, I want to begin by addressing a misstatement that I have made before, and I'll bet you have made before, that's very important. The Holy Spirit is a He, not an it. Holy Spirit is a He, not an it. Jesus said, I will send Him to you, not I will send it to you. Now, why am I making a big deal out of this? Here's what I want you to hear this morning. And you should know this, but a lot of Christians don't. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. We believe in the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. I can't explain it. Theologians have tried now for 2,000 years. I'm not going to be able to get it in my heart and mind fully, and you're not either. But the reality is that God is an entity, a spirit that exists as three distinct persons that make up the God, what we call the Godhead or the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit, we must understand, is fully God. I did some teaching a while back where we emphasized the reality that Jesus, the Son of God, is fully man and fully God. And now we have to understand in this series that the Holy Spirit is fully God. Not just an it, but a He, a part of the Trinity. Sadly, many of us get our image of the Holy Spirit more from Star Wars than the Bible. We think of the Holy Spirit as this mystical force in the universe. No, the Holy Spirit is God in us, God amongst us. So I want to spend some time looking at some scriptures this morning, in a sense to prove from scripture that the Holy Spirit is God. And why are we taking time to do this? Because I want to bolster your faith and confidence in this gift that God has given us. That's what the scripture calls the Holy Spirit, a gift. The gift that Christ has given us after His death and resurrection to further His work in our lives. So I want to prove to you in these next few minutes from Scripture the Holy Spirit is God. First, two ways that we're going to do that. First, in Scripture, that the Holy Spirit is God is proved by His inclusion in the Trinity. And I've just said that a few times. And where do we get this? There's a few statements in the New Testament that are called the Trinitarian formula. In other words, there's places as the New Testament develops and Jesus completes His death on the cross and His resurrection, and they begin to use this language, the writers of Scripture begin to talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all together. A classic example of that is the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Remember that passage? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, the Son and the Spirit and the Father are grouped together in this formula that describes them each as being God. We need to identify with each of them as part of the Godhead or part of this entity called God. One person, three gods. Three persons, one God. Did you catch that heresy? That's heresy. I just spoke. Don't stone me to death. There's great mystery to this. So I want to try to unpack this for you. I've talked to you a lot in my year or so here about the fact that our God, by His very nature, what kind of God is He? He is a relational being. God is all about relationship. That's what He's established with us. He loves us, we would say. He cares about us. But God in His very... I'm going to get deep here for a minute, okay? So I don't want to lose anybody, but I do want to challenge you to put your thinking caps on for just a minute, because I'm going to try to describe the Trinity for just a minute here and raise up the value and the picture of the Holy Spirit. God is a relational being in that He is made up of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who has for all eternity lived and existed in a relationship with Himself. In other words, these members of the Trinity, they're like a small group that live and exist together, and they relate to one another. They have a relationship with one another, and that relationship is perfect and beautiful and full of love. The Father, for example, how does He feel about the Son? What kind of relationship does the Father have with the Son? He loves the Son. Do you remember the baptism of Jesus when He was here on this earth and the voice from heaven came down for everyone to hear? This is My Son whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. At the end of Jesus' life, He's talking to the disciples, He's talking to the people, and He says, wait a minute. They're saying, well, we want to know the Father. Would you show us the Father? And He's like, wait a minute. If you have seen Me, if you know Me, the Son, then you know the Father, because you know what? Me and the Father, we're one. We live in perfect unity. I'm not like off doing my own thing. I represent the Father. I love the Father. If you've heard Me speak, you've heard the Father speak, because I only say what He's told Me to say. We're on the same page. We're perfectly unified. We have an eternal relationship. Okay, now we're going to bring the Holy Spirit in. the love that emanates, that comes out of the Father toward the Son, and the love that emanates or comes out of the Son towards the Father is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the, and yet it's not just an abstract thing. That love that comes out of the Father towards the Son and the Son towards the Father is in and of itself is a person, another member of the Trinity. I can't explain it. I know it doesn't make perfect sense, but that's what Scripture describes. The Spirit is the power and the presence of His being as it goes forth. You know, I'm married, and my wife and I have a relationship, and flowing out of me when I'm at my best, and that's not very often, but once in a while, I demonstrate true love for my wife. It's a feeling that I have, an emotion, but it's also a choice where I put her first, where I serve her, where I meet her needs, and that proceeds out of me. That's loving towards her. And when she's at her best, that happens back towards me. Well, when that happens between the Father and the Son, that pours forth and has for all of eternity is the Holy Spirit. That's the best I can do as I try to grapple with this third person, as we say, of the Trinity. St. Augustine, one of the early church fathers in the third century, understood the relationship of these three persons of the Trinity as one being a relationship of pure, absolute, holy love. And he put it this way, the bond of love between the Father and the Son, the bond of love that they have, is the third person of the Trinity, the Spirit, that flows between them, and it is in and of itself is a person of the Godhead. So the Holy Spirit is God. What does this mean? Again, a deep thought here, that if you can begin to grasp it, anchors your life in a way that nothing else will. It means that God, before anything was created, and God was the only thing that existed, He existed as a relational being that lived in this perfect loving relationship. That means that the core reality of the universe is love, because that's who God is. That's His nature. And when we were created in His image, or as the Scripture says in Genesis, our image, get the difference? Ours plural. God is plural. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We were created for relationship. We were created to connect with God in a relationship that is now made available to us through salvation in Christ. And we were created, and we're going to get into this a lot more as this series unfolds, we were created to connect with one another. In fact, that's one of the main roles of the Holy Spirit, is to help us, enable us, change us so that we can get along in a unified, beautiful way. Nothing else is more important than the relational thing that God wants to do in our lives. One other Trinitarian passage real quick. 2 Corinthians 13:14 unfolds it this way. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, referring to the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Again, notice the three members of the Trinity. And now we're given a little more information about kind of a word that tells us a little bit more about each person of the Trinity, the love of God. Maybe the most fundamental, basic thing that you need to understand about God this morning is that God loves you. Do you know that's true? Some of us think about God and we think, man, He is so mad at me, my sinfulness, and he's done with me. I want you to know from Scripture, not from my words, but from the authority of Scripture, God is love and He loves you. His heart toward you is love. Love meaning He is committed to do that which is best for you. Now, you're not going to agree with all of His methods, but He is all about what is best for you in saving you, in helping you to grow up in your faith. That's what's best for you, and that's what God is all about, and He loves you. The word grace is attached to the Son. That's the second member of the Trinity, the grace of Jesus Christ. What's that all about? Well, that's what Jesus is all about, grace. Some of us think, well, you know, I'm going to work my way. I'm going to try to be good enough to earn God's love, to get a right relationship with God. And the Son comes along and He says, you're never going to be good enough. You're never going to make it that way. And this is startling. Stay with me here. And so the Son, who loves us as well as the Father, offers Himself on the cross to take the penalty for our sin upon Himself and to die in our place and to provide for us salvation as a gift of what? Grace. In other words, not something we can work for or earn or merit on our own, but as a gift. The gift of God. The gift of the forgiveness of sins. The gift of a restored, new, vital union with God through Christ. That is grace. That is what love looks like when it goes into action from God. It looks like grace. And so that's another thing I want you to know from the Trinity this morning is, man, God is offering you, God has offered us that we can relate to Him on the basis, not of our efforts and our works, but of His grace. And then it says the fellowship of the Spirit. It's almost like each of these members of the Trinity have kind of an area that's their specialty. And for the Holy Spirit, the word is fellowship. Fellowship is another word for relationship, what we've been talking about all morning. The Holy Spirit comes to enable us, to empower us to have an actual daily vital connection with God the Father if we've accepted Christ the Son. And He enables us to do that, and He empowers us to do that. And we're going to be unfolding that over the next several weeks. So He makes this kind of relationship with God possible, but then He also begins to work in our human relationships. Anybody need help in their human relationships? Anybody? I need lots of help. Man, sometimes I get so selfish and so focused on accomplishing the task that I forget about relationships. And the Holy Spirit is given to us to help us to change in our relationships, to connect, to have that union and closeness that's in Christ. And He cultivates that, the fellowship of the Spirit. And I even got less far in my notes than I intended this morning, but it's time to wind it down. So, go to the last blank as we do that this morning. And I'll come back and we'll talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation next week a little bit more in detail. But the last set of the last blank that I want to just close with this morning is a good definition. The Holy Spirit, what is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the presence and the power of God in the life of the church in this present age. When Jesus said, I must go so that I can send another to you, the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes, and we're going to keep learning in this series, He has come, He is here. If you are a believer, He is in you as a church body, as a local congregation. He is here in our midst. And what is He? He is the power of God. We have God's power. We have God's power to live a new life. You're not on your own. It's not just about whatever strength you can muster up on your own. We have God's power. It's moral power to overcome sin. It's spiritual power to begin to truly love and worship God, the Father. We have God's power. And we're going to learn a lot more about that in this series. What is that power for? And how do we tap into it? See, there's a couple of scriptures that warn us. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. We can also block that power. So we're going to learn about that. The Holy Spirit is the power of God and the presence of God. Where's God at this morning? Yeah, in our minds we think, well, He's up in heaven, He's way up there, and I'm way down here, and He's far off, and I can't hardly see Him or connect with Him, and it's a fog. And the Scripture says, no, 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 no. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God is present in you. Jesus came as Emmanuel, right? God with us. The Holy Spirit, friends, is God in us. The presence of God is right with you. And I want you to take that with you this week. I want you to meditate upon that reality that God is in you through the Holy Spirit to be present to you, to empower you. And I want you to begin to get curious about what that means in your life. Because I'm telling you, God has a radical life for you to live for His glory. And He's given you the power to do it and to live it in His Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, we come before You today and man, speaking about the Trinity and trying to make sense of that is an intimidating thing for a pastor to do because there's great mystery there and it's a deep subject. And to try to make it understandable and tangible is hard to do. But God, You have revealed Yourself and to understand that the Holy Spirit is this love and this power that flows out of the very presence of the Father to us and in us, Lord, is amazing. And I pray that for us that are gathered today, we would really begin to think and wrestle with how can I take advantage of this Holy Spirit? How can I tap into this Holy Spirit that Jesus said was going to come and live in us and through us? God, we thank You for Your Spirit, that You've given us Your Spirit. And as we go forward, we just pray that You would help us to tap into the power of the Spirit that You have given us and that You will be glorified in our lives. May this morning's sermon, if nothing else, just serve to kind of to make us hungry for more of You. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.